This is a Collider.com audio interview.
With the print interviews, it's very important to be dressed in a suit with the shirt, all that stuff.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean? So you have been doing a lot of press. I saw the schedule. You've been here talking about your movie since about 8:30 this morning.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with some fun little to the left.
Okay.
Because, you know, why ask the same stuff?
Yeah.
So my fun question to start things off with is, what is your go-to karaoke song?
That is so funny because HFPA now does a thing where they do this little on, like they film you for two questions to put it on their site, and the one was like, the second question was, what is your favorite karaoke song?
She stole that from me.
And why?
That's unbelievable.
So what I said to her was, we built the city. Because no matter what city you sing it in, you can be in Houston, Denver, Bozeman, Montana, it fits.
It's true.
But I don't know. You know what? I'm a panicked karaoke participant because I'm always searching for a song in the moment. I don't have my go-to song.
Well, what's interesting is I've seen your work for years.
And I've heard of... I'll be driving along and I'll be like, oh, that should be my karaoke song. And then I forget which song it is.
I've seen you do a lot of singing, though, and I can imagine you can pull off a lot of stuff. So
it's hard. It's harder than... I don't know. Yeah. But, yeah, there's some songs I've heard that I'm like, oh, that should be my... I should write it down. So I don't really have that go-to one.
I understand. By the way, I'm glad to learn that the HFPA has been watching my interviews and now using my question. That is fantastic. Okay, jumping into why I'm actually getting to talk to you today. Let's jump into what originally got you into this project, and something about it is that it is it's not played for the typical Hollywood... it's not a typical Hollywood movie where, you know, you... It's a nice, realistic piece of material.
Yeah.
And obviously you're known for doing a lot of other stuff. Could you talk about sort of, was that what got you into it?
I think it's, it to me, in watching it, like, it never feels false in a way. Which is more an aftermath, but what kind of got me going was just, it was a really well-written script, and I liked that it was kind of just, you know, it doesn't sound appealing or exciting to describe it as gray, but it kind of was just gray. It was like, you know, there were funny moments, but then there was extremely sad moments. It kind of is just a story. It's not trying to be any type of movie, really, and I loved that that you couldn't kind of fit it in a box in a way. I just thought the premise was so unique, you know, that you take this guy and kind of strip him of everything, throw all his possessions in a front lawn, and then he makes the choice to just live there as opposed to, you know, fleeing that situation. He just kind of says, well, screw it. I'm just going to... This is so... confounding to me that, like, where'd my wife go and why do my credit cards don't work and what's going on and really? It's that bad what I did? And he just decides to kind of sit there and say, screw it. Yeah.
Sometimes when actors get attached to material, scripts change. As you're doing read-throughs, maybe you learn certain things about the character. Could you sort of talk about how the script changed once you got involved and... Let's go with that.
Boy, you know, I don't think it changed much, if at all. You know, there was a few scenes. Let's just put it this way. I know it changed a little, but there weren't wholesale changes that I can remember. It pretty much was. You know, it was pretty much what I read was what was up on the screen, which is which is great. I kind of feel like oftentimes that's just so rare that you don't take something and I think a lot of times people are afraid to go. It's good. Leave it alone. It's the nature, you know. I think Hollywood is so top heavy with people who need to justify their existence that notes are given.
Exactly.
And does he have to drive a Plymouth? I like Ford better. You know, like what? Huh? And so that becomes the knee jerk. Like, well, it needs some notes. And heaven forbid there's just something where it's like, it needs nothing. It's great. Leave it alone. And that is, I wish Dan was with us right now, because I know there were some things that we had to change just for geography or something like that. But anyway, most everything is there. Yeah.
Was it always in the script for the beer? I believe it's Pabst. I forget the name of the beer company.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Was that always there?
No. I don't think there was a scripted type of beer. And that's just the good folks at Pabst allowed us to use that.
Well, that's a very popular beer with a lot of people. Whatever.
Yeah.
But I was just curious.
I know. I think there's been some examination as to why is he drinking that? Someone had blogged something like, or written something, had seen the movies, like, makes no sense. Should be drinking Heineken. He's more of a Heineken guy. And my response was, we would love to have drank Heineken. But
exactly.
I
don't think people understand the legality of showing things in movies.
But PBR, they were like, okay.
Well, could you sort of also talk about filming the movie and the fact that...
Oh, I'm sorry. But also, too, I think it you know, he's just a guy who wants to get it in his system. I think if it doesn't matter if it's Pabst or Old Milwaukee or whatever, he will. But we like the idea that was kind of his of the ones we could use. That just felt like, oh, he always goes to that.
I actually thought it was believable that was his beer. Could you sort of talk about, you're almost in, I believe, every frame of this thing, or if not every frame, just a huge percentage. Could you sort of talk about the challenge of being front and center? Do you enjoy that, or is it, you know, because it's more of a one hand, like there is a little bit of a two hander, but you're always there.
Right. It was intense. You know, it made the work go by pretty quickly. But there were days where I was just like, wow, I'm exhausted, and. I don't know. A lot of times you read something and you don't realize that you're going to have to do the things that you read. You don't, you know, like it's, I remember reading, when I first read Old School, and I read the part of streaking, and I was like, oh, that's a funny joke. Yeah. Yeah. When that happens, and then later it hit me like that night, like, oh, I have to actually do it. but yeah, I'm in the movie constantly, and therefore I never left the set. I just would sit out there, and partly because it just helped to be there ready to go when we were filming, because every day was just such a struggle, because most of it's daytime exterior, and we're out there, and we're fighting the light, and so I just stay out on the lawn, and just keep, you know, look over my lines, and just kind of be in the environment of that yard, and it so knowing I had to be there all the time kind of helped me kind of stay in that zone with the character.
You've done so many different movies, comedy, drama. You're in a very fortunate position where I think you can do almost whatever you want. What is it that you're looking for now, or maybe certain goals that you have not, that you're now putting out in front of yourself, like, I want to tackle this challenge? I noticed you're, you know, producing some stuff coming up. Could you sort of talk about where you want, you know, you see the next few years or 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year, kind of rolling into this year, was just or maybe even starting with doing the Bush show on Broadway, really was kind of a fun kind of, I don't know, to call it a realization isn't accurate, but it kind of kicked off this thing in like wanting to make sure that I just keep kind of tweaking things along the way, and along with studio movies, I want to keep doing. You know, it was just so fun to work on last year my life consisted of working on 2 $5 million 23-day shoot films, and they were two of the more satisfying experiences I've ever had, and two kind of radically different between something that's more of an acting exercise to Casa de mi Padre, which was just, it's just so out there, and to do an entire movie in Spanish, which was another thing that was just like, wow, this is, be careful what you wish for. But then getting to do The Office this fall, it was just like, I think there were, it's kind of a triumvirate of an example of how I want to just keep kind of showing up in places that you'd least expect me.
I definitely want to ask you about the Spanish movie, which I have it written down, but I'm going to butcher the title.
Yeah.
The trailer looks fantastic. Could you sort of talk about, now that there's some footage out there, you know, what you guys were going for, and have you seen the final film? How happy are you with the results?
Yeah, we're still kind of playing around with it a little bit, but we're kind of thrilled that, you know, yeah, we kind of set out to write a poorly made Spanish language film. You know, the best kind of example I can say is it's kind of telenovela, but it's not really that. It's more telenovela meets kind of, at times it's like Quentin Tarantino esque and a little bit of Robert Rodriguez, and it's just all that mixed in with a poorly made movie where you see mistakes, where you see the boom shot in the reflection of someone's sunglasses. Like you see.
Was that in the script?
Yeah. Okay. Where you see someone coming into the frame and then appearing somewhere else. Bad edit. So it's just a poorly made Mexican Western. Is kind of the idea, and at the same time, and our buddy Andrew Steele, who helps run Funny or Die, he writes a script that is so great, and we kind of is kind of
2 minutes left.
2 minutes, okay. Surprisingly satirical. We kind of comment on the whole U.S.-Mexico relationship. The American stigmas, the Mexican stigmas, the a little bit of the drug policy, all this stuff like that. So it's kind of this crazy.
I sincerely mean, I thought the trailer, I laughed my ass off.
We got amazing response off of that.
Yeah, so, I think it's great. I definitely want to ask you about, I looked on the Always Accurate IMDb, and you're listed as a producer on Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters, and Bouncers, and some other stuff. And I wanted to know how involved are you as the producer, and is this sort of like a new thing for you, or maybe you might start producing more stuff that maybe you're not in, or is it always going to be stuff that you are in?
No, I mean, that's kind of what, you know, Adam and I's company, you know, we're kind of, we're looking for stuff for ourselves, but we're also excited about making movies that we're not in, or, you know, he's not directing, I'm not acting in, Hansel and Gretel's a big movie, that's shooting right now in Germany with Jeremy Renner, and kind of a great kind of twist on the whole fable of Hansel and Gretel. And
you landed a good star with this Jeremy Renner. He might be somebody.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully,
exactly.
But yeah, we're that's kind of, yeah, that, hopefully that is the future, to kind of help produce a little bit more. And you know, just it's just kind of fun to kind of help other projects along too. Yeah.
Speaking of fun, I didn't watch the finale last night or the last episode, but I've been watching you on The Office. Yeah. I've been loving the episodes. Yeah. For you, how much fun was it to go to The Office and do the show and sort of talk about like how you were involved, or you know, like the way you guys work together with your character?
Yeah, it was as much fun as I hoped it would be. It was just great. It was great to kind of work with Steve again. Obviously, and that's such a talented cast. In a way, I think slightly underrated as to how good they are individually, because they're, you get on set and every single person in that cast is super funny, and it may not be seen, you know, in all the episodes all the time, but they're just such a gifted kind of ensemble. And and yeah, and it was just I just had the idea. I just kind of said to a couple of my agents that, "Wait, this is Steve's last season. I'd love to go do a thing on it." And that turned into, they came back saying, "What about 4 shows?"
Really?
I was like, "Great, yeah." But that it kind of fits in along the line with what I'm talking about creatively, of just wanting to kind of you know, do these little different things along the way.
Well,
spicy.
I know I have to wrap up, but I was going to say, I would imagine for you, creatively, this kind of stuff recharges your batteries
totally.
For doing whatever it may be.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you my last question, because I know I got to wrap, is what can you tell for fans of your quote-unquote bigger Hollywood kind of things, or Anchorman 2, which I still pray to God would one day get made, what other stuff maybe do you have coming up that I don't know about, or are you thinking about? I like asking that as a final question. Opening the door.
Well, we're we've got, you know, we're the movie with Zach Galifianakis in the fall. I don't know if you heard about that. That's
maybe
we're basically, well, it's going to be directed by Jay Roach, and we're kind of dueling small time Southern politicians.
Yes, I know about this.
So that will start that in the fall. And then we're kind of, you know, we just had a great meeting with John C. Reilly about maybe Step Brothers, because Anchorman's a brick wall right now. So
you and John together, and I shouldn't kill me, but you and John together are frickin',
well,
come on a curse,
so much
great
fun. Yeah,
so
we're maybe playing around with the idea of that.
Would a certain friend of yours be directing?
Yeah, we would have to all three do it.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
I won't mention your name. I know, I gotta go. Nice to see you, sir.
Nice to see you again.